You see how believers do a lot of foolish things sometimes? Decisions. Question: have you chosen to succeed, or do you just desire it? Have you chosen to be a very godly person, or do you just desire it? Have you chosen to not be a failure, or do you just hate failure? I hope you know hating failure is different from choosing to be a success. You can hate failure, you can detest it honestly, and yet you find out that your life becomes a perpetual, you know, a roadmap of a failure. Hating it is not enough. You must make that choice. Your decisions. Hallelujah. Let me tell you three ways to make superior choices. Write that quickly. Three ways. Shamako saprandiga balakusiata. Three ways to make superior choices. Are you ready? Number one, in order to make superior choices, the first thing you need is an awareness. Listen, an awareness of the Word of God, what the Word of God says, promises. You need an awareness of the Word of God. I'm going to read it for you, but I just want to get the idea. An awareness of what the Word of God says. Access to wisdom by the Word. That's how I wrote it there. You need access to wisdom by the Word. An awareness of what the Word of God proposes for you. Else you cannot make quality choices. Access to wisdom by the Word of God. Is someone writing? Access to wisdom by the Word of God. That's the first thing you need. An awareness of what is there for you. I call them exceeding great and precious promises. If you don't know the superior alternative God has given you, you will dance to everything around you. Do you know, for instance, that God has exalted you? Do you know, for instance, that God has a destiny of beauty and glory for you? Jeremiah 29:11. Do you know that the Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day? Do you know, according to scripture, that though your beginning be small, that your latter end should greatly increase? Do you know that you are being called out of every tribe and every tongue and every nation, that the limitations from your territory don't have to become your limitations again? Do you know that you can come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and grace, find grace to help in time of need? Do you know? If you don't have knowledge, you cannot make superior decisions. Wisdom, access to wisdom by the Word of God is the first key if you want to make superior decisions. And when I say wisdom by the Word of God, I'm not just limiting it to scripture directly alone. I'm also talking of access to knowledge from word compliant materials. Maybe you may want to write that down. Access to wisdom first by the Word of God, and then from word compliant materials. There are books, there are tapes, there are videos, there are teachings that are a distilling of wisdom. I was listening to God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo as he gave a rundown of the things he had learned as he celebrated his 71st birthday. And I mean, it was an unveiling of superior wisdom. For me, as I was listening, I was just thinking to myself, praying that everybody who was hearing that great father of faith was actually paying attention to the things he was saying. Because you know, sometimes you can be around and just shout and say amen and not be getting anything. Priceless, valuable lessons he had learned at 71. I received it with prayer. Thank you for the leverage of granting me access to a 71-year-old wisdom, so that by the time I am 71, I would have doubled or tripled my progress. Is someone learning now? You cannot make a destiny defining decision wallowing among gossips and failures and small-minded people and people who don't respect God. They don't respect success. They don't respect successful people. They downplay on sacrifices. Any decision derived from that mold will always be sabotaging. Is someone learning? You have given me a destiny and a purpose to fulfill. So with all I am, every breath in me, I'll spend my life to see. You have given me a destiny and a purpose to fulfill. So with all I am, every breath in me, I'll spend my life to see. This song is a declaration of your power to choose. But it started by saying, you have given me. I am aware. I have found from scripture, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, that you've made all blessings available for me, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so I use my will, my power to choose in partnership with the word of God, in partnership with word compliant materials, in partnership with the Holy Spirit to make pro-destiny choices. Being prayerful is a pro-destiny choice. Being disciplined is a pro-destiny choice. Being godly is a pro-destiny choice. Are we together? Being compassionate is a pro-destiny choice. Being diligent, hardworking, if you want to call it, is a pro-destiny choice. Being persistent is a pro-destiny choice. Learning, given to continuous learning, never plateauing in life, is a pro-destiny choice. Being lazy is a destiny-sabotaging choice. Being very loud when you have not arrived, living a fake life, a false life, That's you fighting your destiny. Hanging around people who are going nowhere. I remind you of a statement that I made, that if there are five foolish people around you, you didn't count well. There are six people, you are the sixth. If there are five wise people around you, you also didn't count well. There are six, you being the sixth. You will be a merciless average of the people around you. It's true. You want greatness and you hang around people who hate God, hate God's people, hate victory, hate discipline, hate knowledge, hate diligence. No, sir, you are not going anywhere. I don't have to prophesy. You don't need any course in your life. Show me a man, no matter how weak, that has found himself through honor to be in proximity with them who love God. Them who are disciplined, them who are going somewhere, not people who gossip talking about people, minds that have been refined by knowledge. When you hear them speak, they speak of excellent things. I show you someone who will never remain small. So the first key, if you want to make pro-destiny decisions, is that you must know how to have access to wisdom by the word of God alongside word compliant resources. You must know how to draw wisdom from there. Apostle, by the grace of God, I'm going to be an exceptional father and husband. I don't believe in you until I see what you are reading. I don't believe that statement. I know you are joking. Until I see, show me who is shaping your mindset on fatherhood. Show me who is shaping your mindset on being a responsible husband. Then I can know whether your confession is blind or you'll be a repetition of where you are coming from. Apostle, I'm going to be a great woman. Esther, Deborah, stories. If it's positive confession, that's fine. Show me who is shaping your mind. If it's some frustrated person online transferring her frustration to you, no ma. No ma. No ma. Apostle, by the grace of God, I'm going to build churches. I will be so blessed. I will love the Lord. I love your sincerity, but I don't believe you. Show me who you are learning from. Show me who you are learning from. Let me see the books you are reading that expose you to diligence, to relationships, to value, to the power of competence and excellence. Show me, then I believe you. Ladies and gentlemen, your decisions are as superior as the materials that inform your mindset. Your decisions are as superior as the materials that inform your mindset. A man with a loser's mentality cannot make a winner's decision. No, sir. A man with a loser's mentality, I repeat, no matter how sincere, no matter how well-intentioned, a man, a woman, a pastor, a businessman with a loser's mentality being a description, not an insult, you cannot produce a winner's decision. The cancer is from within. That's where it must change. Listen, there are parents today, with all due respect, when they see their children going to church and being zealous about the things of God, because they themselves are not serious with God, they think the children are doing too much. What are you going to do in church again? Midweek prayer, every time you are in church, it's not the man's fault. He has not prioritized God, so he cannot watch his child have value beyond his level of understanding. Are you seeing the problem now? So he will retreat the child back, and then the child stays back home now, not doing anything. And there's the devil will come, pornography. And because the boy is at home and he's idle, he's not doing anything, and he has access to an Android phone, where he would have been in church learning, growing, building, having a community of kingdom-minded people. Because the father, with all due respect, or the mother, or the parents, every parent transfers to their children their passion for God or otherwise. A man that believes in fasting and prayer, believes in diligence, spirituality, the word of God, will most likely give the children the enabling environment to replicate same. Am I right on that? A man who does not place value on God will tell the child, go and make money, this church thing. And before you know it, the child becomes a failure. You can't bless beyond your mindset. You cannot bless beyond your mindset. Even if you want to, you can't bless beyond your mindset. Another example, watch a father tell a child, be hardworking, don't be lazy, be great. That's not the key to greatness, but that's all the man knows. That's all the man knows. He wants his child to be great, and unfortunately, he's not accessed the word nor word compliant materials to methodically walk that boy through an enviable destiny. All he knows that he heard is all he tells the boy. Be great, be serious. And the boy will say, I'm trying to. But unfortunately, sometimes a man may be too proud to not sit down and learn that although you are sincere, this is not the way greatness happens. Koinonia, I pray for you in Jesus' name. You will not enter something you hate because of your decisions. You will not hate a destiny and yet still enter into it again. In the name of Jesus Christ. As God empowers your capacity to choose tonight through this teaching, may you begin to scale prophetic heights in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Decisions. So you have two people, for instance, let's say real estate people. One understands the law of diligence, understands the law of relationships, and understands the prophetic advantage. I'm working with your mind. Brother A, real estate. He understands the law of diligence. He's hardworking. He understands the law of relationships, strategic connections, and he understands the prophetic advantage. Brother B, born again. He understands the law of diligence, but does not understand the law of relationships. So even though he's a hardworking person, network of architects and builders, doors don't open because doors are relational. They are more relational than they are of skill. This man will remain stunted. He doesn't know why. His inability to have learned that law has become a stumbling block. Then the guy does not understand the power of the prophetic. Sometimes he even mocks it. This guy will remain here, whereas somebody who sometimes may even be less skilled than him is scaling heights because he's added other things and he's making quality decisions. Are we together now? When he gets a great project, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you do not understand the mysteries of the kingdom, you will not be able to make predestiny decisions. Knowledge. I'm thinking about my life and I'm thinking about this ministry. And I'm thinking, with all due respect, of the things that happen underground that you may never see, you may never know, but with all due respect, are responsible for the results you see and admire. I can tell you one thing for sure. Mastery. Nothing happens by mistake. Did you hear what I said? Don't just celebrate victories. Let it provoke you to know how victories are engineered. Someone asked me a question, and he was just celebrating what God did in giving us the place he gave us. And he said, "Apostle, how did you do it?" I told him, I said, "I can't answer you, because it's not a sentence." Are we together? The only way to answer you is to walk you through a journey. That's the answer. What am I going to say now? If I say it is God, it's not a lie. If I say diligence, it's not a lie. If I say relationships, it's not a lie. If I say mercy, it's not a lie. If I say favor, it's not a lie. Which one do I omit now in giving you the answer? Koinonia, nothing will change until your decisions change. The decision to leave bad friends without insulting them and redefine a new company whose values reflect where you are going to is a superior decision. That's your commitment. Let me speak to a father. The decision to take advantage of your home and be the priest over your home, taking care of your wife, taking care of your children as unto God, is a predestiny decision. The decision to stop living carelessly, traveling and leaving your wife and children without knowing how they are being taken care of and saying it does not matter. And sometimes lots of Christians are involved in this. Let me speak to the women too. Madam, you cannot leave your husband, no cooking, your children, they are not, and you are busy doing whatever it is. Let me tell you, this is what I believe. Anything that destroys your relationship with Jesus, destroys your family, destroys your health, is not worth your time. Did you hear what I said? Anything that would destroy these three things, your relationship with Jesus, your family, and your health, believe me, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Because at the end of it, these three things matter. If you are not healthy, you will die. If your family scatters into pieces, you will see how depressing it will be for you. They are the ones who will stay with you when all the stakes are down. And then ultimately, your relationship with Jesus. Decisions. So number one, you must have access to wisdom. Number two, the second way to make strategic predestiny decisions is that you must obtain grace from God. Please listen. When you know what to do, there is grace to do it. It's called the doing grace. There are many people who know what to do. They know the choices to make, but the engracing to make the choices are not there. You obtain grace from God to now actually make the decisions. You can make the decisions by writing them down as a goal. You can make the decisions in the place of prayer. But in any case, the next step after you know what to do is to obtain grace. I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, any decision that will reveal the glory of God in your life must happen by the grace of God. Are we together now? The arm of flesh cannot make a decision that glorifies God. The flesh of man generally. So what you need is that when you find the path you want to take, say for instance, you are now making a U-turn with your life, and you are living practices and things that are not of God, and you want to start on a new leaf, let me tell you, you don't have the power. You can decide, but you don't have the power. You can will to do, but you must obtain grace from God. Somebody say, I obtain grace. Say it again, I obtain grace. Please look at me. How many of you know that many people who are prayerless know the power of prayer? Why are they not praying? How many of you know that even an armed robber knows that a more superior path to life is through dignity and diligence? Am I right on that? Why wouldn't he change? Because it takes more than a desire. The will to do it is there, but you need empowerment. I'm praying for someone sincerely, because for some, this is where you are right now. It is not that you don't know what to do. You know you should read books. You know you should be serious. You know you should wake up in the morning and pray. You know that you should fast. You know you should bear roots downwards, but the power to do it. Some of you know that you should leave certain associations for good, but the power, in the name of Jesus, to all those seeking that empowerment, the doing grace, from the depth of my heart, I pray for you and for our family following online. May the doing grace rest on you now. May the doing grace rest on you now. May the grace to actually choose rest on you now. Do you know why I'm saying that? Remember, sometimes when you choose, it will come with temporary constraints before you now see the beauty. If grace is not given, you will not be persistent. Are we together? The person who decides, for instance, and please don't feel bad, decides to stop living a man who wants to give you money and destroy your life, and you make up your mind that from today I will be a responsible lady, in all honesty and from a human standpoint, you will suffer temporarily. Because the meaning of that is that you may go back to where you are coming from. You will not get certain privileges, but it is a nobler decision. And sometimes the results will not show immediately. So you will look like a fool. Your other friends who you live in the world, they will look at you and say, look at your life. You were better off now. Simply because this church thing has hijacked you, you've taken away dignity, and you will feel stupid for a long time. So you need grace. You need grace. Someone who used to drink and smoke and live riotously, by the time you leave, you will go through the period of loneliness, because those are the only friends you have. Now, absorbing yourself in church and learning all this, you are entering a new lifestyle. You need grace. Again, I pray for you. In the name of Jesus, the empowerment to start making choices, not just to know what choices to make, but to actually make those choices, I release that grace on you now. Looking at a few, please sit down. I was looking at a few of our photos from our conferences across the globe this morning, I think it was. And I sat very quietly as I was praying and preparing for tonight. I was almost in tears. And all I was saying is, Lord, mercy, I thank you. I was looking at the poster that you just saw now, looking at all the faces there. And I was thinking to myself, the mercy of God. But you know what the Holy Spirit whispered back? He said, the power of choice. It's not just mercy, the power of choice. Because the same Lord is rich unto all. Rainy season does not, when rain falls, it doesn't just fall in one region, it falls everywhere. So when you see someone's bucket full of water, the person also took advantage and kept a bucket outside. You didn't want the rain to touch your body, so you stayed inside. The consequence is that it fell on the ground and went away. But someone brought buckets. The same rain that would have filled your bucket. Are we together? Someone used the opportunity. Honestly, when I looked at everything, all I was saying, because you see, sometimes when you are in a position like God has put me, you look at life in a very different way. When God gives you access to a generation, honestly, sometimes all you see is mercy. Mercy. It is the grace and the mercy of God. But while I meditated, almost in tears, thanking God, the Holy Spirit whispered it again to me. He said, it is the power of choice. The power of choice. When the prayer grace came, some received it, some rejected it. When the diligence grace came, some received it, some rejected it. When the persistence grace came, some received it, some rejected it. When the relational grace came, some received it, some rejected it. When the selflessness grace came, some received it, some rejected it. When the power grace came, some received it, some rejected it. When the influence grace came, some received it, some rejected it. Grace, grace, grace. Grace, grace, grace. Grace, grace, grace. Go.
All I see is grace.
Hear me. Look at me. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Give us that scripture. He said, but this grace, this is where I'm going to tonight. But this grace, please find it for us, media. I am what I am by the grace of God. It says, and this grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Are you reading that now? Give us NIV. Let's see what NIV says. By the grace of God, it says, I am what I am. It says, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So don't you make a mistake in just singing about the grace of God. Don't use it to downplay the sacrifices. You take advantage of the grace and then you work out your salvation in prayer. You work out your salvation in learning. I just kept saying mercy. I flipped through the photos, the things that God did in New York, the things that he did in Glasgow, Scotland, the things that he did in Calgary, and then earlier this year in Dallas. I mean, mighty manifestations of his power, the healings, the miracles. I was just watching from a third party view, as though I was not there, just looking at the things that God did and looking at the things that God is doing in this ministry, week in, week out. An opportunity to speak to kings, to nobles. And I'm looking at it and say, God, I just kept saying, mercy, mercy, thank you. And the Spirit of God whispered very slowly to my heart, it is the power of choice. Sometimes because of our determination to see Jesus glorified, we hate trying to take credit for anything. And so we act as if we are dummies and foolish in his presence. But let me tell you the truth about it is that even though the grace of God was there, it took the stability and the insistence of choice. I can tell you moments when I was learning the law of honor. I can tell you moments when I was learning the law of favor. I can tell you times of prayer and fasting. I don't just give credit to these things. I can tell you when you submit yourself to learn, where God grants you visions, the visions of some of these things today. You walk it out. You walk it out. You walk it out. You walk it out. I remember when I began to see the visions of the nations, when God was revealing to me that he would take me to the nations, I looked at myself. I said, the nations, that means you need to contend for light and power and wisdom. You need finances. You need to learn the laws so you don't manipulate people. Where will you get that kind of money from? The grace to stand all the attacks that come from the devil. The leadership and organizational knowledge. Because it takes more than anointing. It takes leadership. But you see, we are not the first doing it. So we follow them while we look unto Jesus. We follow them. Them who a lot of people mock out of ignorance. Them who a lot of people trivialize in spite of their result. We have chosen the foolishness of following as we look unto Christ. It is the grace of God, but there was diligence. Are we together now? Diligence. Diligence. Times when anybody can give up, we decided to continue and we pushed. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, our generation has a cancer I'm praying that God will deliver us from. Is the cancer of trivializing the sacrifices of people. You see, when you see people now wear the royal apparel and they sit on the throne, it covers the scars. It does. It covers the scars. Are we together? You look at my hand here, I have a few scars. These scars came since I was a small child. Regardless, my quality of life has refused to go. It's just there. It reminds me of where I'm coming from. I don't know. I can't even remember how some of these scars came. Whether it's play or hard work or life, I don't know. I can't remember. Are we together? Scars. But when I wear suit or I wear whatever it is, you won't see it. But don't be mistaken, it's still there. There are people, when you look at their altar, it's blood you see dripping. So while you are saying it's the grace of God, make sure you don't trivialize it. That when others are sleeping, they are awake. Are we together? I once saw the photo of a man, beautiful photo. He was trying to protect his children and there were arrows on his back, but the children could not see it. I said, this is a description of the destiny of many people. The things they have received in the spirit for others while shielding them so that they will grow. Koinonia, body of Christ, hear me. We must return to the place of not human worship, but a respectful and a healthy honor for the sacrifices of people. Hallelujah. I can tell you this with all humility, my beloved people. Mastery is not by mistake. I told you that. When you see consistency in results, even if the people do not look like it, it is not a mistake. It is engineered. It is programmed. The thing about destiny is a man will not look like it, but it does not matter. It is the mindset, not the form. You can see a man very unassuming, but they tell you he's a professor. Make no mistakes about it till he tells you his story. Till he tells you all the things he went through. That he was reading when he started reading with a lantern, all of that. And he would tell you the stories. We have an interesting way of trivializing the sacrifices of people. I don't just mean worship. Human worship. No, that one is wrong. We find someone who prospers by the dignity of kingdom integrity. And we say, oh, you know what? These guys, they are just funny. I'm sure God just showed them a special grace. Special grace? Are you joking? You find a man having influence over people like our fathers in the Lord. Do you know what it means for people to love, people to admire, people to receive and to keep listening for decades? How can that be a mistake? The reason why only few people truly succeed is because we don't learn. When God puts models before us, we are wrapped up with our pride and bitterness and envy, and we never learn. But I can tell you, results are not mistakes. By the mercy of God. One of the things that God has raised us to do by His mercy is in all humility to demonstrate the possibilities of the kingdom to a generation. Those who are open and can learn, a portal is created through that obedience. They can plunge into it and step into it. Hallelujah. It's not something to brag about, but it's also not something to trivialize. That God grants grace and we buy a property in billions, no asking for funds, no manipulation, no instrumental payment at once, and you are not a thief, you don't do money laundering. It will take a foolish person to ignore that. That you are able to help people and bless people. I made a covenant with God, and I've told you in this ministry, for as long as I'm alive, nobody will be manipulated here for financial gains or whatever it is. We grew up in ministry and we saw people doing it. We were able to edit out of love the things we saw that we did not believe. We honored them and picked the ones that are word compliant and used it to frame our understanding. Take away finances. How about souls? How about souls? Sometimes when I get the record as they send to me, the souls that were saved during the conferences, I say it was worth the while. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but please forgive me. I'm challenging you and the body of Christ. You have no idea the budget and the bills for this convention coming. I'm telling you, if I tell you, you'll be afraid. That's the price of integrity. But that's also the price of preparation. If you get it, don't trivialize it. Hallelujah. Don't trivialize it. The things that we do easily. You come for a miracle service and you find people flying up and down. You try it. Try it. You know the depth of work with the Spirit that produces those results? No, sir. No, sir. Koinonia, let me tell you this. Learn the way of honor. Everyone graced by God should be humble, but don't take humility for granted. There is sacrifice behind it. I am what I am, it says, by the grace of God. But this grace was not showered on me. The Lord told me many years ago, He says, if you will let men see me. Do you know what it means to hide behind the cross? Everybody also wants to be a celebrity. I can design a system for myself to shine. I'm not a fool. I'm not a dummy. I can design a system of fame for myself. But we choose to hide behind the cross and to let Jesus be seen. Don't trivialize it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You must obtain grace to make quality pro-destiny choices. Quality pro-destiny choices. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is a choice. Lean onto your own understanding is a choice. In all your ways, acknowledge Him is a choice. The result, He shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes is a choice. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil is a choice. I said before you, life and death is a choice. This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth. It's a choice, sir. It's a choice. A diligent hand, it's a choice. A lazy hand, it's a choice. Giving excuses, it's a choice. Killing every excuse, it's a choice. Becoming an exceptional worshiper, it's a choice. Becoming an anointed man of God, it's a choice. Becoming a cutting-edge businessman, it's a choice. Are we together? Becoming an exceptional mother who your children will bless God that you are their mother, it's a choice. It's not a desire. Becoming an exceptional father that raises a winning kingdom family, it's a choice, sir. Ending poverty is a choice. Breaking generational curses is a choice. Stepping into the blessing is a choice. Influence is a choice. Redefining the narratives of your life is a choice. The assignment of the word of God. The assignment of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to guide you towards making superior choices. Tonight's teaching is hard, but it's for your profit, in my brothers and my sisters. Listen to me. God is provoking us. I want you, as you're standing now, I'm going to just run. I will end by doing a recap. One time when I taught on, I think, Choose Life, I gave you 7 major choices. I will still give you those choices as we wrap up. I will remind you. I told you there are major choices in life and there are minor choices. All of them are important, but not equally important. My prayer is that at the end of this discussion tonight, someone will take advantage of the victory that is in Christ and use your will through the power of choices. Come into partnership with what Christ has done and redefine a great destiny. Look at me. You can choose after this service to make up your mind that friends that are about to destroy my life, I love them, but I have to wave them goodbye. It's a choice. Will you feel lonely afterwards? Yes, but it's a choice. You are going to make up your mind that no day will pass without me praying. It's a choice. The grace is, and by the message of God, I'm praying for you. If you don't choose anything right in life, please take these 7 destiny defining decisions. Take them seriously. Number one, the decision to be spiritually vibrant, to make exceptional spiritual progress with your life. Please, everybody, write that down. That's the first decision everybody must make. You want to manifest a life of victory, a life that is designed by choice, manifesting limitless possibilities. The first key is a decision to be spiritually vibrant, to make exceptional spiritual progress. What does that mean? Make up your mind that you will know the Lord, you will love Him, and you will serve Him all the days of your life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way. I'll sing it one more time. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Not being a Christian and doing masquerade. Made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Are we together? Not being born again and having one stone from somewhere in your house, one small shrine. Say it doesn't hurt. He was giving all of us in our family. I've made up my mind to go God's way. Not being born again and tying something around because it was prayed upon and was given to you. I don't care what it is called. I'm not condemning you. But the first decision you can make, listen, and this decision has an effect on you and your children and your children's children. They entered a covenant to serve the Lord with their whole heart. The Bible says they rejoiced. The whole of Judah rejoiced at it. That they made up their minds that anyone who did not serve the Lord so will be stoned to death, him and his family. And the Bible says as they made that covenant, God gave them rest round about. For as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, he said God made him to prosper. I have no other God but you. I have no other God but you. You have done what no man can do. You will do. God, I'm showing you the implication. If it's not in your presence, if it's not by your hand,
If it's not by your spirit, don't let me have it. For everything I need is in you. If it's not in your presence, if it's not from your hand,
no matter what it is in this life,
if it's not by your spirit, please don't let me have it. For everything I need, if it's not in your presence,
listen to what I'm saying.
If it's not from your hand, and if it's not by your spirit, don't let me have it.
If that money is not from your presence, if it's not by your hand, if it's not engineered by your spirit, I'm not interested. I'm showing you what it means to love Jesus. It's not just to confess it. No. Loving Jesus comes with an implication of the willingness to die to anything and any other influence.
For everything I need is in you.
I found out in my little life that what God does not give a man, you cannot have it. I'm telling you.
Truly everything I need is in you. The joy that I need, the peace that I have. Everything I need is in you.
Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. There are many people looking for joy and peace elsewhere, fraternizing with all kinds of foreign, strange, demonic, and familiar spirits. With all due respect, there are men and women of God who dabble into all kinds of things in search for power, in search for fame. I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, what God will not give you, you can't get it anywhere. And if the devil dare lies to you, he will only be baiting you for your destruction. God is enough for me. God is enough for me.
Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Father's love. Through the
help me,
He is Lord, Lord.
Just let me sing it once. I'm ministering to your spirit.
Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord and Lord.
We used to sing this song years ago.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my heart, with all I am, to honor His.
Some of you don't know these songs.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Hallelujah. The decision to be spiritually serious, the decision to be spiritually vibrant, your prayer life, your love for Jesus, your love for His house, your love for the things of God, your commitment to serving His purpose is number two. What is the second destiny defining decision that anyone intending to birth and manifest victory must pursue? The decision to contend for a superior belief system. The decision to contend for a superior belief system, a belief system greater than the foundation you came from, a belief system greater than your immediate environment. I told you, a loser's mentality, a loser's belief system cannot make a winner's decision. Don't forget that. We make decisions to reflect our understanding, our mindset, our beliefs, our ideologies. You must make up your mind that the second decision will be to contend for superior transformation, a superior belief system. The way you think, the way you talk must be upgraded. The way you think, don't say I'm a Yoruba person. You are Yoruba by natural descent, I understand. You are Igbo, you are Hausa, you are Plateau, Kaduna, American, Caribbean, Chinese. And that's wonderful. There's a place for honor of culture and foundation. But in terms of mindset, you must edit principles and practices that are inconsistent. You must unashamedly, unapologetically divorce any way of thinking, whether it came from culture, whether it came from background. If it's not consistent with the word of God and does not produce a victorious life nor bring glory to the Lord, dump it. Dump it. Dump it. Where I come from, when women offend you, you may say, we beat them. Dump it. It's not found in the word of God. Where I come, if I'm angry, I don't cook for my husband. Dump it. It's not found in the word. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Superior belief system. You can change your clothes, but if the same mindset wearing the clothes, your result will be the same. Are we together? You can change cream. You can change whatever. You can even change your voice. But if it's the same mindset, you will get the same outcome. You can change physical location. And nothing is intrinsically wrong with that. But if your mindset does not change, believe me, Koinonia, your life will remain stunted. Contend for a superior belief system. Some of you are truly born again, but my goodness, your mindset betrays you. When we are reading scripture, singing songs, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, you look like a Christian. But upon engaging you in conversation, you speak like one who has not met Jesus Christ. It must change. Three. What is the third destiny-defining decision you must make from this teaching? The decision to discover and fulfill your assignment. Hebrews 10:7. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, to do your will, O God. The decision to discover and to fulfill your assignment. You must answer that question, why? Why am I here? Your assignment is your contribution to kingdom come. Your assignment is your contribution to the advancement of the kingdom of God. You must find it and you must live it. And let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, the easiest way I know to evolve into your call is to serve in the house of God. Four. The decision to be healthy and physically strong. It's a destiny-defining decision. The decision to be healthy and physically strong. I think I've said it here in Koinonia that usually at the end of the year, I do my retreats, and during my retreats, I take inventory of my life across many indices, one of them being my health and my physical well-being. And I remember for 3 years in a row, not that I was particularly sick, but my health was the worst performing index of all the indices in my life. Spiritual vibrancy, mindset, but health. And I made up my mind. I said, you know what? I refuse to die. Decisions. But that decision would not just end there. You also have to start removing death from your pot. You don't just say, I refuse to die and eat death. You will die. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. I have a very sweet tooth. I buried it. I don't know if it's fully buried now, but at least I tried burying it. I buried it. I think it has died significantly. Has died. Maybe not completely died, but it has died. I am sure of that. A part of it will not resurrect again. Health. So when you say, I shall not die, but live and declare, make sure you understand it's not just a confession, it's a responsibility. Are we together? Yes. Responsibility. Laziness kills. Overworking kills too. This is where you need to pray for some of us. As I'm saying it now, I'm feeling guilty. The message is also, you see how God is speaking to everyone, including me. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. Please take your health seriously. Do you know what a doctor told me? I'm not a medical practitioner, but he said for every 10 years of your life, the dynamics of taking care of yourself and the way your body works changes. 0 to 10, 11 to 20. Then when you start getting from 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50, these 3 decades, that's where most of the sicknesses that kill people, around 60 years, that's where it starts from. It usually starts from the 20s, but they are careless. Pain in the leg, they are careless. What pain, I don't care. Sometimes, you know, disease, no, they kill. And we're doing all those things. It keeps building up. I pray for you in Jesus' name. Whatever it takes in Christ and in righteousness for you to maintain good health, please do it in Jesus' name. I think the last time I was teaching you on decisions here, I spoke about a simple instruction like drinking water can save your life. I hope you know that. When God starts blessing you, the first thing to change is the quality of the water you drink. It's not luxury. You are living long. I'm telling you, it's not luxury. And in Nigeria, we don't do that. You find out that someone will barely take 1 glass of water in a day, but he will take Coca-Cola with all due respect. He will take Fanta. He will take all other beverages. Wonderful in their own rights. But if whatever you do, if you ignore water, just know that you are signing a contract with death.
Thank you for watching this powerful video. I hope you were blessed. Apostle Joseph Selman is really a blessing to our generation. And our prayer for him is that the Lord will keep him from falling. We encourage you to drop your comments on the comment section. We promise to respond to every comment we see on the comment section. We value your response. If you've not subscribed to our channel, what are you waiting for? This is a family of God. We encourage you to subscribe to this family so that God will bless you. We also encourage you to share this video with your family and friends so that they can be blessed as well. Don't forget, my name is Mr. Juko Binna, and this is Priestly Nation. We're going to see you on the next sermon. Bye.